Blog Talk Radio.
Nowadays, there's a lot of talk about hate crimes. There's an entire body of laws against hate crimes. Everybody seems to be worried about hate. Hate appears to be the gravest problem of our time. But hate is good. Hate gives a structure to our life. Hate gives us a reason to exist, a focus, something to strive for, an identity. Hate is energy, pure energy, provided by Mother Nature herself. Hate enables us to see through lies and pretense and helps us to concentrate on the essential. Hate is democratic. Even the rich and the powerful cannot hate more than their slaves and subjects. And soon, hate may well be all that we have left. Hate emancipates. Without hate for slavery, you cannot break your shackles. And without hate for injustice, there can be no justice. The greatest achievements of the human race have grown from hate and from the ability to control hate. Hate separates humans from animals. Animals do not hate, but humans do. Humans can hate for decades, sometimes their entire life. We can even pass hate on to our children and keep hate alive for centuries. Hate is a sign of abstract intellect, for only humans can hate people they have never seen or met, and only humans can hate concepts and processes. How can we know what love is if we refuse to recognize and understand hate? Love and hate are the two opposite sides of the same coin. Without hate, we are only halflings. In order to be complete, we need hate. Only fools talk endlessly about love, but forget the hate. Hate separates us from the meek and docile masses. Do not fear hate. Do not deny or reject hate. Accept hate. Embrace hate. Learn to know it and learn to use it. Hate is your most powerful weapon, a hidden source of your strength. Do not deny it from you. What the liberal elite fears most in this world is our ability to hate, because our hate will one day be the most revolutionary force on the planet. Our hate will destroy and create empires.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
But a kingdom that has once been destroyed can never come again into being, nor can the dead ever be brought back to life.
Shall I explain to you in one easy lesson how the world works?
Use small words. I'm not as bright as you.
The house that put family first will always defeat the house that put the whims and wishes of its sons and daughters first. A good man does everything in his power to better his family's position, regardless of his own selfish desires.
We'll be right back. All right, welcome to the Resolution Radio Network at resolutionradio.com. You are listening to St. Thomas Show, and I am your host, Sonny Thomas. If you want to call in and listen now, it's area code 607-203-5423. Area code 607-203-5423. You can follow us on various social media as well. We've got a couple new channels that we've actually popped up on recently. But we have been actually trying to expand a little bit out there. And we've got a couple new channels we picked up. We are obviously still on Gab at St. Thomas Show and at Real St. Thomas. And we are also on Getter at St. Thomas Show. We're still on Parler at St. Thomas Show, even though Parler is starting to become more like Twitter now. So ever since they fired that dude that started the thing, they've started to become PC. So they're starting to ding you on stupid shit, the wrong word, wrong usage, whatever. And then they're starting to ding you. So it's starting to become not as fun, that's for sure. We're also on Telegram at St. Thomas Show in that Resolution RDO. And to top that off, we're also, I have a presence on a new one. This is a site called writeonly.net/Sonny Thomas Show. And it's kind of like a social network thing itself, kind of like a Facebook type of thing. It's limited. You can't upload videos and stuff, but, I mean, it's a presence. So I went in and paid a small amount of money to get to verify. So I do have a verified check mark next to my name. But yes, you can go to writeonly.net/Sonny Thomas Show, and you'll see our presence on there as well. So apparently I have a lot of followers already, and only a couple of quote-unquote friends. So again, I'm still learning how to use it, but seems fairly positive. And of course, Fascist Book has completely updated their entire format on their site. So especially on the mobile version, it really sucks now. So it's starting to actually, it's kind of like write only, but it's also a little harder to navigate than it was before. I have noticed, though, it's harder to share pictures. So if you have a meme or something that's posted, it's very difficult to share pictures on Facebook now. So they're definitely pulling some shit there. So anyways, so tonight of the title of the show is called Man in the Wilderness, which is that song by Styx who just played, thin version. The original release was in 1976 on the Grand Illusion album, and that extended version can be found on their Come Sail Away anthology double album. Came out in the mid-2000s. And, yeah, I've been a fan of Styx for a long time. Matter of fact, one of my first jobs, the manager of the fast food place I had worked at back in 1990, we got to talk about music one day, and he said he was really big into Styx back in the day, like when he was in high school. So he let me borrow one of the compilations, and I listened to it, and I recognized a couple of those songs, like Renegade and Blue Collar Man, and shit. I was like, okay, cool. I didn't really pop on it. Then 5 years later, in 1995, the Greatest Hits album had been released, and these are all remasters with one redo, which was Lady 95. And even though one of the trademarks of their sound from the 70s is the high-end harmonies, which would seem dated immediately, it's actually fairly refreshing, especially by the mid-90s. And so when you start listening to Styx on a regular basis, and you really realize just how good of an arena rock band they are, especially if you get the early stuff pre-Thomas Shaw with Chuck Kuruski. They're a lot more prog, and they were a really solid band back then. So it was actually getting hard to kind of find the first four Styx albums, Styx 2, Serpent is Rising, and Land of Miracles, but those were released through Wooden Nickel Records before they got signed to A&M back in 1974, I do believe, maybe 75. I think Equinox was in 75. And that's when they introduced Tommy Shaw as well. But they actually released a double album set several years ago, complete, all four albums on it, remastered. So you listen to the very early Styx albums, they are rock solid. They don't suck at all. And I have to say, I was very impressed with a lot of that stuff. And, had some issues here with one of my things here. I'm trying to figure out, and my guest who I'm going to have on tonight can give it in. I'm trying to figure out how I can use it with the, there we go, with some of the limited options we have. So I'm trying to use my old phone here, and I'm not having as much luck as I would like to. So we may have to try to figure something out here. So I got a couple options I'm going to try, but we'll see what happens. Okay. So we wanted to cover some things. I've been away for a little while because just my schedule is completely discombobulated, and other projects that I'm doing on the side. I've got some deadlines that needed to get done, other shit. So I've been really lackadaisical. Plus, sometimes when I turn this damn computer on, it's so freaking slow for some of the functions I need to do that I get so frustrated I end up walking away from it. And if I don't mess with it for like 20, 25 minutes or something, it goes to sleep. So I just like, fuck it, you know, I just literally just come in and just close the damn lid. So it's one of those things, I just haven't had time really to sit down and fuck with stuff. So I do apologize for the delay, not only for my show, but for many of the shows here on the network. We are going to make a very diligent effort to get everything caught up and up to date. So probably going to get a bunch of shows done tomorrow and try to catch stuff up. What I may do is catch up the current stuff and then go back and fill in the missing ones for December, and a couple are missing at the end of November. So some of them are formatting issues. Some of the shows have changed the format, so I have to download them from different sources. Then I got to convert them from video to fucking audio. I mean, sometimes it's a real pain in the ass. Like I said, so many times people like to try to upgrade things, they end up fucking shit up, and then just, you know, they end up losing part of their audience base. So that's one of the things that kind of sucks. But, you know, just trying to get stuff done, dealing with the weather and everything else, it's just like, wow, it's been really hectic. By the time I get home, it's already freaking dark, and the last thing I want to do is open up this damn computer lid. So I do apologize. I had to really like it basically as of late, but I have been keeping some notations and trying to reformat the show a little bit. So I got to do some more long form stuff. It's easier for me to format shows that way. Okay, my other phone here is not participating like it should. Go figure. All right, so try this, turn back on, see what happens. Okay, so a couple things we do want to cover. Obviously, the vax mandate has not gone. It's actually just been kind of slapped back a little bit. But do not think that it is gone, because some companies are going to go ahead and force it anyway. I saw a video the other day where a guy who has this Carhartt, khaki-colored hat, I guess he's worn for a number of years. He's really abused the damn thing. He's gotten a lot of wear and tear out of it, literally. Basically, in his little video clip, he's like, you know what? He thought Carhartt was going to go ahead and force vax their employees. And he's like, fuck all that shit. So he basically said, screw this, took the Carhartt hat off, basically chucked it, and says, why wear this shit when I can wear my own? And so I guess he had some hats printed up for his little regular, you know, vlog that he does, whatever. So kudos to him. you know, not so long ago, I was looking at, you know, upgrading some of my work clothes and stuff. And I'm not big in the name brands. I just don't really give a shit about that stuff. I mean, to me, that is like so 90s, you know, like you go and fucking buy the Gap or American Eagle or, you know, Abercrombie and Bitch, so to speak. You're paying $60 for a fucking long sleeve t-shirt with a little tiny print on it. Get the fuck out of here. You know, I've done printing for 15 years, man, and I'm a big t-shirt fan, but I can tell you this, I would not spend $60 on a piece of shit advertisement shirt such as that. And apparently a lot of people aren't anymore. I saw that a lot of Gap stores, Aeropostale, and others have been closing for two reasons. That shit's so 90s, nobody does that crap anymore. Secondly, the whole retail model of brick and mortar disappearing. A guy that I saw on a TED video or something, a guy that grew up in Baltimore or whatever, went ahead and did a small documentary on the shopping mall. That was very big deal back in 1985, I think, when this thing opened up, or 85, 86, maybe even 88, I don't remember. But anyways, it was a beautiful shopping mall, multi-tiered. I mean, it was badass. And he said he remembers as a kid when they first opened, it was a big deal. It was like you couldn't even get a parking space in that place. And then try to get up in there and, you know, this, that, and the other. But over the last several years, the balls have started dying. And stores are leaving and everything else. Now it's completely closed and derelict to the point where weeds are growing up through the marble floors and everything else. So it's a complete eyesore. So I had seen many things happen here. In the Dayton area, we had a couple malls that have changed drastically. We used to have the Salem Mall, which was a really cool mall back in the day. As a matter of fact, I can remember back around 1980 when the big cliffhanger for Who Shot JR was all the rage back then. Actually, that show started cliffhangers on how to end seasons for television series. That's actually an interesting little tidbit. Everybody thought it was Sue Ellen, and it wasn't. It was Mary Crosby's character. But I got one of the t-shirts, I think, at the time since I shot JR. So, I mean, it was a big fucking cultural thing back then. But it was a nice-looking shopping mall. Had these cool double-ass escalators that would go to the lower level. Had a beautiful pond where you can throw pennies in and stuff. There was a restaurant there called Forest Company. I used to love to talk my folks into trying to eat there, all sorts of stuff. And they had a, you know, I think a KB Toys at the bottom of that escalator. So there's, and the matter of fact, the family dog we had gotten in the mid-1980s was from Dr. X Pet Center. There in the lower level of the Salem Mall. Mom was trying to get me out of the way because she was trying to get me something, so she had to go do something with me for a few minutes. So we went to the pet shop, and that's, he saw the dog in the attendant's hand. The next thing you know, dog jumped out, tried to get to him, grabbed a hold of his beard and wouldn't let go. So that was it. Love at first bite. So at that time, he spent $500 on that dog. That was a lot of money back in the mid-80s, man. A lot of fucking money. But I think that dog lived to be 15, maybe 16 years old. And I remember we had to put him down. It was a pretty sad day for him because that was definitely his dog. But, yeah, fond memories of that mall. Now it's completely demolished and cleared. It doesn't exist anymore. Some of it is because that particular side of town started getting a lot of keffers in there. So, I mean, you probably had a lot of shrink. Other issues, you had gang fights and all sorts of fucking stupid shit. So basically, a lot of these malls start to, plus you've got a lot of these unminded teenagers, and they have a tendency to start fights and do all sorts of stupid shit, especially when you got a bunch of colors running around, and that's what happens. So I was just like, well, son of a bitch. So that being said, the Dayton Mall had made some changes. A lot of stores have been closing in there, as well as Fairfield Commons in Beaver Creek by Wright State. But that mall has always been really expensive. I mean, the amount of money they probably spent on a marble alone is another reason why probably the rent in those places are so fucking high. And that's why they mark everything up so high. So I've never been that impressed with the stuff at the Fairfield Commons mall. Even the layout's kind of janky compared to the other two. But it looks prettier. But ever since they got rid of the big grand staircase that was in the middle, to me it looks like shit. So who goes to the malls anymore? You know, so, I mean, and a lot of that, but they've got oftentimes age restrictions, so you can't have your teenagers just, you can't just drop them off, give them, you know, $40 and say, I'll be back in a couple hours to come get you. Now, those days are kind of gone anymore. Hell, I remember when we used to go to the Dayton Mall when I was a kid. If I didn't go by myself, a buddy of mine would come up to my place, and then we'd go up the road to the bus stop, and we'd take the RTA out to the Dayton Mall. And you know, one of my favorite stores out there at the time was Camelot Music, and I bought a lot of my music out of that place, a lot of tapes, some CDs, and all sorts of shit. So I have some fond memories of doing that stuff back in the day. But nowadays, if you notice, you don't see a lot of people walking in the streets anymore like they used to. Very rarely do you see females walk by themselves. If you do, they're either very low class or trash, or they're junkies. You don't really see girls walking on sidewalks anymore. I have noticed that the last few years, just driving around certain times of day, certain parts of town, you just never see. If you actually see one or two teenagers walking down a sidewalk, depending on what part of town it is, I mean, where I grew up in Belmont, that's actually very rare. Now, you start getting a little bit more wider neighborhoods, like, you know, second, third, and fourth tier suburbs of Dayton, where it's still more white. You might see more kids maybe walking around and chattering, but not as much. Now, Centerville, you might, but that's also depending if there's even sidewalks around. Springboro, not so much. Bellbrook, I haven't really been in there, even though they do have an apparatus. But Sugar Creek, again, this depends because of the way the store's laid out. So, yeah, I mean, really trying to think of it, you don't see kids walk around, even in pairs or groups, as much anymore. It's frowned upon. So, I mean, things have changed a lot since I was a youngster, that's for sure. I mean, that's why they're forced busing on these kids, because they won't let them walk to school. Springboro actually has no sidewalk apparatus whatsoever going up to the high school building at all. So even if you lived on the house on the corner before you actually get to the school property, which I was looking at renting at one time, you know, I would ask the question, well, if my kid was going to the high school, are you telling me that they can't jump over the hedge and just walk up to the fucking front door? Apparently not. The new rule is basically they have to come in on wheels, either on theirs or on yours. That's bullshit. Because if I'm living right there by the corner of the entrance, which is probably, what, 400, 500 feet away, if that, I'll be damned if I'm left to go have my kid dropped off at a goddamn thing. You know what I'm saying? That's bullshit. I'm sorry. You know, you just walk down there, jump the hedge, and you're back in the yard, buddy. You know, fuck all that shit. So I'd tell them to go fly up a pole. But, you know, that's a long time ago, far, far away. But, I mean, the point is, you know, why in the hell should my kid have to walk if there's a fucking sidewalk there? You know, it's bullshit. So anyways, so we wanted to cover a few things. And what's cool thing is I've been finding some interesting shirts on Amazon as of late. Regarding the vaccines situation, I actually have a cool picture of me wearing a shirt that says, you know, my body, my choice, and it's got a no sign over the syringe, which is something pretty cool. I picked one up that lists all the, a lot of the major ingredients that are in typical vaccines, such as animal parts, aborted fetus cells, mercury, all sorts of shit. So basically says, know what's in them, or educate yourself within them before you administer them, or something like that. So I thought that was a pretty cool shirt. I just picked up one the other day. It says, if it worked and was safe, you wouldn't need to mandate, force, deceive, or threaten those who question it. And it's got a big old syringe on the front drawn with the little drips at the end. So I was like, hey, that's a really cool-ass T-shirt, man. So I do like that shit because I'm a walking billboard, whether I advertise my favorite band or a political point. And, you know, that's definitely going to be regular rotation in my collection, that's for sure. But places like Carhartt, I think their stuff's way overpriced. I mean, you know, when Kmart was still around, I could get the same shit at Kmart for a third of the price compared to what Carhartt charges. Ooh, they got an extra T behind their name. What the fucking do? And they got the dumbest fucking logo I've ever seen. It's like a little fucking curly swish or something. Fucking retarded. I mean, that's just gay as fuck. Matter of fact, I had a recent employer who had given us coats a few years back, and it was a Carhartt, and I thought it looked like, it was okay, but where the company logo was, as opposed to the Carhartt logo on the other side, was totally offset from each other. So I just took my razor blade, and I just cut the threads around a Carhartt patch, and I took that fucker off. So I'm just like, fuck all that shit, that's gay. And then after I left the employer, I just went ahead and fucking covered up with a cool-ass, blacked-out fucking Ohio flag patch. So it actually looks like a really cool coat now. I thought that was pretty neat. So it was just something. I went down to the flea market, picked up one of these blacked-out Ohio flag ones, and I thought, yeah, that looks sweet because it's a very dark charcoal gray coat anyways. And it's not great for layering, so I was just like, eh, fuck it. You know, if I wear it, I wear it. It's no big deal. So, but it was free, so I'm not gonna bitch. So, but, some of the stuff they get from some of these vendors really just makes you go, why would you pick that particular company? Why would you pick someone else? So anyways, okay, so some of the things we're going to try to discuss here, and Ken, if you're listening, my other phone, oh, good, I got you. It works. From the see the message here. It looks like I got the thing to work. Okay, so if he sees that, we'll go ahead and use Messenger if you want the phone and go through the mic that way. Okay, so the one thing I wanted to cover is recently, while I was at the store during the holidays at the mall, I had walked into one of the music stores, FYE or whatever, and I saw that John Lennon's got another release out. Dude, the guy's been dead for 42 years, okay? Nobody gives a fuck about John Lennon anymore. He scraped the bottom of the barrel, like, what, 8-10 years ago with acoustic? I mean, pretty much, there is no recordings left from this guy. I mean, everything's been put out that you can imagine, okay? Unless you've got bits and pieces of shit where other people can play other parts on. It's done. I mean, you know, and they have a very unflattering picture of him. They have a picture of him in a ponytail with a side shot from his right. And I go, that is the dumbest fucking picture I've ever seen for an album cover, especially for like someone like John Lennon. You know, what a joke. You know, because recently, obviously on Disney Plus, whatever, they've been pushing the Get Back documentary, which really showcases the recording sessions during the Let It Be sessions, but originally it's going to be called Get Back. And that's the last of the Beatles films that had not been fully released on DVD yet. I thought I knew somebody had a copy on tape, and the way it's looked, it looks like they're fighting all the time, and it's just not working out well. But you listen to the record, it's not too bad, but I think Phil Spector ruined it by putting a wall of sound around the shit. But that being said, 2003, they released Let It Be Naked and stripped it down, got rid of the wall of sound stuff that Phil Spector had done, and gave it a little bit more of a true live vibe, which is what McCartney was trying to do. But it's pretty obvious. When you look at some of the stuff, you see that Lennon's not engaged. Many times his lady's never on time. Obviously, George was becoming very disillusioned. Ringo's fairly consistent. You know, he's just there to fucking play drums, so he could care less one way or the other. So McCartney was trying to really jazz this thing up, and you could tell that he was trying to wear multiple hats during these sessions and trying to manage it as best he could. And you could tell a band was just falling apart. I mean, but it still amazes me, though, how during those sessions they came out with a halfway decent batch of songs, but yet still managed to keep their act together long enough to do a great swan song, which is Abbey Road. I mean, if you're going to have a band like the Beatles and your last album is going to be Abbey Road, because originally it was supposed to be the White Album, the double album. And to me, I think that's the worst Beatles album. I think there's only two or three songs that are actually worth a shit. And to me, it's just a whole bunch of gobbledygook. To me, I thought that was the worst record since Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It was a cool concept for the time, but it got dated very, very quickly. And I think a lot of mid-late Beatles stuff after Revolver sucked. Not very good at all. But again, Let It Be had some potential, but it was released after the fact. But Abbey Road is actually a very solid album. Plus, it has an interesting concept where side two is basically sounds like all one track. So that was a very interesting way to arrange that album. But, and again, a band that's falling apart still managed to put together a record like that, pretty solid. But the question I want to ask is, are Beatles and other certain bands, are they relevant anymore? You know, because Paul McCartney's still out there doing shit, but, you know, and he's trying to keep the Beatles torch alive. I mean, obviously, most of his set, at least half his songs are Beatles songs, the other half are solo stuff. But the question you have to ask is, are the Beatles relevant anymore? I mean, there was such a big influence in the 60s, and everyone clamored for them to reunite in the 70s, and John and Paul almost did on one of the late-night talk shows. There's also supposedly some bootleg sessions of John and Paul jamming out some covers together. But for the most part, though, they never reunited, and they constantly had a bickering thing going on with each other. Very interesting, because you have to ask yourself, are they relevant anymore? You know, seeing that John Lennon release there in stores, I'm like, dude, why would they bother to repackage his music again? I mean, first of all, John Lennon's stuff, after he got with Yoko, went to shit. I mean, what's the last halfway decent song he did? The Ballad of John Yoko? somebody said, well, come together, man. Well, you know, actually, if you listen to that track, I don't think it's held up as well as you may think. I mean, that album is well over, what, almost 50 years old? So some stuff on that record I think is held up okay. But Come Together, when you listen to it, stuff. But not that, but the last several albums, George's voice is so buried in the mix because his voice had gotten so bad, you could barely hear the guy. Paul's consistent. Some of Ringo's best stuff, I think, was actually on the last couple of records. You know, I mean, Octopus's Garden, I mean, stupid-ass fucking song, but it's catchy. But, you know, it's the Beatles. People are going to buy it anyway. But the question I got to ask is, are the Beatles relevant anymore? Because when you've got liberal universities using it as a mandatory credit that you have to have to graduate, in the Miami University down in Florida, or the University of Miami, I should say, they actually have a course on the Beatles. And I think it's actually a requirement to graduate. It shows you how far left they are. So, and they went really far left after Brian Epstein committed suicide. So, and then, what was it? Bob Dylan introduced him to acid or some shit. And if you notice, their music drastically changed after that. Me personally, I think the best Beatles album, arguably, is Revolver. And I think the second best is with the Beatles. But what I like about the Beatles is when I eventually got into them, I started buying them in order so I can actually hear the progression with each new record. You can hear the musicianship improve, some of the interesting instruments they were using, as well as new recording techniques at the time. And it's got some very interesting developments if you buy a group's records in order. So you can really appreciate especially if there's any type of personnel change. I mean, obviously Styx's first four albums are pretty solid. But with Tommy, they definitely reformatted their music and became more of an arena rock band. Kiss, as Ace started doing material by Love Gun. Love Gun is the quintessential Kiss album because all four members sang on it. Even though I think Peter got the shaft, he should have had one more track instead of the one, which is Hooligan. And I think by the time they did solo albums and they come back and did Dynasty, something got lost. But you could tell they got misdirected and they were really thinking they were hot shit. So they almost lost their entire ass in 2 years. Then within three, they had come out with Creatures of the Night, but by then nobody was listening. So they took the makeup off, jumped on the MTV generation that had gone on there, and managed to rejuvenate the band's career, but then had multiple personnel changes during that time period. But good records, nonetheless. But when I talk about being a man in the wilderness, I'm one of the few voices out there that's consistent. Matter of fact, Ken Givitt had told me about 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was almost four years ago. It's been about 3.5 years. One of the things he noticed is the fact that I'm consistent. He's talked to other hardcore conservatives, white nationalists, alt-right guys, this, that, and the other. And he said, you know, I've talked to these guys and I've heard their views kind of vacillate a little bit over time, but you're consistent. You never change. Why is that? And I'm just like, well, yeah, man, it's the way I was raised. And it's not because of my folks. It's just been my environment. By the time I was in high school, political correctness was becoming a trend. And so it was, kind of hip and cool to say, they're not Asians, they're Oriental. Or we should need to call them Pacific Islanders. Or some of this other stupid shit. Or we call them African American. Matter of fact, I was just talking to a coworker today. We got a new guy, and he's black, of course. And he's trying to learn all the stuff and everything. I said, well, where does the rest of this go? He's like, well, the African-American guy's got to say. I said, dude, that is so fucking PC that it's gay. Why the fuck do you call him African-American? He's like, well, guess what he is? I said, no, he's not. He's like, what do you call him? Black? Well, that's kind of sensitive. Sensitive? That's what he is. He's black, dude. And he ain't no light-skinned mulatto either. He's black. I mean, we're talking not coal black, but he's pretty dark. He's a black guy. Now, I've only interacted with the guy once, so, you know, but there's two designations. There's blacks and then there's niggers. I mean, if Chris Rock had done a couple of excellent skits on that very topic, one was blacks versus niggers, and I was watching it again the other day. It was actually funny. There's a funny clip. He's like, yeah, you don't just go bring in a big screen TV in your house. You better paint white. It looks like a bassinet. You better bring it 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's watching. And then they go and wait before you leave and they break in your house. It's like, well, I didn't see nothing. You didn't see shit because you were doing shit. His facial expressions, just the fucking light. Fucking great. Then another one was like, hey, you want to switch places? I'm like, dude, he's like, I talked to this black guy. He's like, man, would you want to at least switch with me today? He's like, hell no. I was like, dude, that's pretty fucking sad you don't want to switch with me, and I'm fucking rich. I mean, look it up, dude. I mean, Chris Rock actually, and then I saw there was a guy that analyzed his commentary there, a black guy, and it says, blacks versus niggers, Chris Rock. Isn't wrong, and he was going point by point in each clip how everything he said was correct, and I'm just like, well, yeah, dude, that's one of the things that makes it funny, because we all know it's true, even though we may not talk about it openly. Someone like Chris Rock, you know, could format it and really make it amusing, but I just thought, wow, that's kind of funny as shit, you know? Kind of like Sam Kinison, you know, cracking off Christian jokes because he was a Jew, but I thought it was actually really funny. And that's actually a classic album, too. Have You Seen Me Lately? From Sam Kinison, dude. Every now and then I pull that thing out, pop it in just for some kicks because I hadn't heard it in a number of years. Good shit. And then I actually sat down and watched Andrew Dice Clay's thing. And I said, you know, I didn't think nothing of it right away because remember he was like kind of hip for like 2 or 3 years in the early 90s and then poof, you never really saw much of him after the Ford Fairlane movie, which I actually thought was a decent movie. But I thought it had potential. It could actually have been a real cool-ass little detective drama thing. But that being said, I was watching one of his clips with a friend of mine about a year or so ago, and I was just sitting there going, you know, I said, I've noticed, I said, he doesn't make any cracks about Jews. Have you noticed? He'll crack on everybody else, but he never cracks on Jews. So I wonder if he's a Jew. And so I looked up his Wikipedia. Sure as shit, he's a Jew. I was like, no wonder he's not making cracks about fucking kikes. So I thought that was kind of funny. So I was like, sometimes these guys are written. Now, Carlos Mencia, no, that motherfucker is off the hook, dude. Any race, he'll nail him. I mean, doesn't matter. A friend of mine told me about that about 10 years ago. I watched one of his videos. I'm like, wow, dude, you can't disagree with his commentary. But I don't know what's that. I heard he did something, whatever, and it fucked themselves. Or I don't know what, but Carlos Mencia actually has some pretty good videos back in the 2010s and shit. I mean, I was like, wow, this is some good stuff. And so he nails everybody. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. If he can fucking pull a jive on you, he will. He will. But the question I do want to ask is, are some of these bands even irrelevant anymore? I mean, the Stones. I mean, their drummer, Charlie, just died recently. So, I mean, it's like, okay, you just lost. He was like one of the true original members of the Stones. He's gone now. So it's like, you know, pretty much everybody focuses on the Stones, which is Mick Jagger and, you know, Keith Richards. And they just still keep on going, even though Mick really can't sing anymore. He just kind of speaks his vocals. So, but again, are the Stones relevant anymore? And I think the two things you've got to ask, if you listen to a lot of the classic corporate rock radio that's on terrestrial airways right here, do they still play their shit? You know, WTUE here in Dayton plays Van Halen to death. I mean, I fucking hate Van Halen. It took me a while to actually start liking Van Hagar, but Van Halen, I'm just so sick of hearing Daily Ross fucking squelch. I think that band's so overplayed and so overrated, and I've said it on the show many times. It was sad to see him die, but I was kind of glad at the same time. Like, good. There won't be any talk about any more fucking Van Halen crap. So I just, you know, sad. Matter of fact, one of the pizza joints I ate at the time he died, there was actually a signed poster by Eddie up on the wall he had framed. I'm like, dude, you better put that in a lock and key, man. That's not worth some money. So anyways, but that being said, are some of these bands relevant anymore? You know, I was listening to my MP3 player at work, and I bought some new ones recently, so I've been playing with them and listening to how well they mix and stuff, and I've been trying to focus on, like, instead of entire discographies and shit or whatever, or having 10 of their, you know, 15 albums of whatever band, I've tried to focus on, like, their very best or whatever, like, you know, Marvin Gaye, Gold, or the Commodores, or Earth, Wind & Fire, the Century Earth, Wind & Fire, and the very best of Fleetwood Mac or very best of the Eagles. I put all that shit in there. I mean, songs I don't like, after a while, I'd start deleting them so that way I can put more shit on. One hit wonders, one heavy. But you can ask yourself, a lot of these bands from the mid to late 20th century, from the 60s and 70s, for example, are they still relevant anymore? I don't think the Beatles are relevant anymore. I really don't, because it's been so long, and George has been dead now for almost 20 years. So I don't really think the Beatles are as relevant as they used to be. The Stones really haven't put out a good album since 1994's Voodoo Lounge. So I would say they're not really relevant anymore, except that they're a nostalgic act that somehow just keeps on coming and don't die. The Doors. Are the Doors relevant anymore? Good question, because already been, what, 30 years since the Doors movie with Val Kilmer. Wow. And that was made 20 years after Jim's death. So, which definitely made the Doors relevant again. Which a lot of alternative fans got into the Doors because no one sounds like the Doors, dude. But I think when Ray Manzarek fucking died, like, what, 7, 8 years ago? The question is raised now, are the Doors still relevant? Good question. Again, nobody sounds like the Doors. Nobody sounds like Pink Floyd either. But I think a lot of these musical artists aren't relevant much anymore, especially some of the big liberal ones. Like, for example, Elton John was complaining that no one was playing his new music on the radio. Well, dude, if it's good music, they'll still play, at least on the adult contemporary channels, depending on if it's a ballad or a fucking, you know, a rock song. But don't expect any AOR fucking rock channels to play your new shit, you know? To me, that's very disingenuous, because when an artist still puts out new material, I want to hear it. I mean, again, prime example. Here's WTWE. 50 years of Judas Priest, and you're telling me you only play tracks from three of their albums in the 80s. Maybe one extra track, Green Man and Lishi, from what, 1978, 79? But you basically play stuff from British Steel and Screaming for Vengeance, Turbo, that's it. You guys don't really play anything else. 50 years of fucking metal, and you don't play anything else from Judas Priest. You know, oh, Living After Midnight, whatever. So, yeah, they don't play a lot of their shit. And they're an AOR for it. But if it comes to Led Zeppelin and Van Halen, oh, no, we got to play all their shit. Or AC/DC, especially Bon Scott era. Oh, yeah, we got to play all their shit. So it's like, wow, dude, fucking terrible. But I don't think a lot of these bands are relevant anymore. And I've stated on here many times, I said that, especially after Michael Jackson died, I think the big-name entertainers instantly became not relevant anymore. Britney Spears is the last of the great entertainers, and I mean, we're talking four choreographed shows. She could put out an album, and it'll go platinum within a short amount of time. She'll have hit singles on the pop radio for a decent amount of time, probably at least 2 to 3 months per single. And she'll have sold-out tours. I mean, I saw Britney Spears in 2001 on a Britney tour, and I thought Backstreet Stage show was phenomenal. Matter of fact, I thought it was as good, if not better, than when I saw Janet Jackson almost 10 years before on her Janet tour. So, but, you know, that being said, though, the Jacksons are a family of entertainers, so they entertain. But without Michael Jackson being out there, dude, something's lost. And so I think a lot of these artists have realized that no one's buying the shit anymore. So, but I hate it when these bands do not put out new records because of the fact that one day you're going to be gone. Singer's going to die. Guitarist's going to die. You lose one key member, and that's it. The band's forever gone. You know, I mean, look at Twisted Sister. AJ Perro died, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago? There is no more Twisted Sister as far as the rest of the band's concerned. Without AJ, and I have to agree, because you listen to the music, all the music is built around the drummer, and that's AJ Perro. So you can tell he is the engine behind that whole thing. Yeah, they got the garish makeup, and D's got an outrageous personality. But bottom line is, it's AJ Perro as far as the music goes, because you don't really hear JJ or Eddie stand out as much as you do just listening to AJ Perro keep time. So I think that's why, Twisted Sister, they were respectful to say, well, AJ died, so the band's dead. Just like Led Zeppelin. But really, everyone thinks, oh, Led Zeppelin, Robert Plant, Jimmy Page. No, dude. Led Zeppelin is the rhythm section. John Paul Jones and John Bonham. And I hate Zeppelin. But you cannot deny John Bonham. That is the engine in that fucking machine, dude. Once he took himself out, is no Led Zeppelin. Ever. And Sun cannot play his chops. So nothing is Jason Bonham, but he's not John. So, but does sound good in Black Country Communion. I'll give you that. Does sound good there. Okay, well, I was hoping we were going to be able to get, I guess, Kendo signed off for the night. So I was hoping to get him on. So at least we know how to format because his phone situation is a little bit different than usual. And so at least I know I'll have that as an option. So we will definitely catch Ken in a short time, possibly next week. But I think I may have a guest on next week. Yes. Yes. Oh, got it. My mind just slipped for a second. Look at his freaking name. Russell James. Yes. Russell James of the Colchester Collection. I think he's going to be on next week. And he's got some very interesting stuff he wants to update with us since the last time we talked with him. So I know he's supposed to be next week, so I may see how much he wants to cover, and I might be able to slip Ken in as well. And then maybe actually have a little round table with him later on. That'd be kind of cool. Okay, so some interesting stuff there. Some other notes out here, Dems and vax mandates. Obviously, at the time, wrote, if they lose in court, they will steal the election, and they will reinstitute Obamacare mandate with a vax requirement to even use it. So here's what I'm thinking is going to happen is the Democrats are going to be desperate. They've got 29 Democrats that say that they're going to retire, so they're not running for reelection. And they keep talking about this big, huge red wave, like 94, whatever. I just can tell you this. Trump won, and they fucked that guy. And I have become so disenfranchised as a voter that I may even bother to vote in local elections. And the reason why I say that is because of the fact that if they want something to pass bad enough, they'll make it pass. Trust me. They want a levy to go through. They want another school building built. They will fucking have it done. And so I am very disenfranchised as a voter. I remember as a kid, and I don't know if it's because I saw one of the presidential election debates. I remember watching some of the debates between Reagan and Carter back in 79. Yeah, I remember watching that, 79-80. Matter of fact, I remember looking at a calendar in my grandpa's kitchen, and it was May 1980. Of course, that's the same month, I think, when Kiss was this unmasked. But, yeah, I remember looking at a calendar when I was a kid in my grandpa's house, and it was May 1980. I remember that clearly as if it was yesterday. So, you know, I thought that was pretty interesting. And I remember asking my mom, I said, well, what can I vote? She said, when you turn 18? I said, well, then I can't wait till I turn 18. And my first presidential election was in 1992, and I voted for Ross Perot, and then I voted for Ross Perot again in 1996. And I don't know shit about politics, but to me, Ross Perot sounded like the straight shooter compared to the other two jokers on the stage. And then about 7-8 years ago, I went back and watched the 92 debates again, just to see it as through an adult eyes. And I realized, wow, I made the right decision because Bill Clinton's talking the typical Democrat platform. George H.W. Bush was talking about the typical Republican platform, or should say neocon platform. And, of course, H. Ross Perot to get his commentary in there. Of course, they fucked that guy big time. So it made him look like a flake. In 96, he ran. He did not even get anywhere near as much as he did. I think he got, what, damn near 27% of the vote in 92, if I remember correctly. Something like that. It was a pretty high percentage. It was damn near a third. And that's when he started creating the Presidential Election Commission, and they eliminated any third-party candidates from ever debating the Republican and the Democrat on stage. Now, I have seen a news clip from the RNC where Mitt Romney's daughter that runs that damn thing, has basically stated that no Republican candidate is to participate in the presidential election committee debates. Now, that is very interesting because of the fact that I think Chris Wallace made such a stink during that shit, plus the fact that Megyn Kelly, she just really made an ass of herself. So that's why nobody trusts those things anymore, because they're so freaking biased. I know that Chris Wallace has actually gone to CNN, so he's not relevant anymore. But I tell you this, Chris Wallace is definitely not his dad. Mike Wallace actually had a reputation. He was fairly objective. Even if he did lean to the right, he looked like he was objective. But the bottom line is Chris Ross Wallace is not his father. And I'm glad to see that fucker's gone, because he's a joke. So whatever credibility he had went down the toilet during that debate with Trump. But anyway, such is life, right? Okay, so I think what's going to happen is I think they're going to steal the election. I think they're going to get a Democrat majority again in the House, maybe even the Senate. Once they do that, they get carte blanche. What they'll do is they'll reinstate the individual mandate from Obamacare. Because remember, Republicans didn't get rid of Obamacare. They just defanged it. So by taking up the individual mandate, what's going to happen is they're going to reinstate that, and they're going to put a kicker to it. To even be able to use Obamacare, you have to show proof of vaccination. I'm telling you, that's how they do it. That's one way to keep Obamacare from going broke, is to force vax anyone who wants to use it. So, yeah. And then I saw a meme today off of Getter that was pretty cool. Had some really good information. And it was saying, let me find it here. Here it is. The remdesivir treatment is $3,120. The new Merck Molnupiravir is $720 per treatment. New Pfizer COVID pill is $530 per treatment, but ivermectin in bulk is only 1 cent per pill. I was like, wow. That pretty much shows you everything you need to know about that happy horse shit. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Now, Neil Young is threatening to have his catalog pulled off of Spotify because if they don't drop Joe Rogan. Dude, Neil Young, you're not relevant anymore. Matter of fact, you never were. What did you have? Supposedly, you had your decade collection come out, and you had all these tracks on there, and you said, Miller, and how you talk about Southern Men and everything else. You're just a piece of shit, dude. I mean, I know people have had copies of Decade, and every liberal person says, oh, dude, it is quintessential that you have to have Decade in your collection. No, I don't, dude, because I've listened to Neil Young. I think he sucks. I think he was much better off with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. He gives him a little bit more focus, but the bottom line is Neil Young is nobody. He had, what, one minor hit in the mid-late 80s? Keep on rocking in the free world, and if you listen to the fucking song, it's a bitch session instead of a good rock song. So I've never been really happy with Neil Young. I think he's a fucking joke. He's a has-been and never should have been. And, you know, he just needs to shut his mouth. That's for fucking sure. Nobody buys your songs, dude. You're old. Nobody knows, even knows who the fuck you are. I remember it was a story a while back, I guess, Bob Dylan got arrested one day by a cop. He's like, do you know who I am? He's like, no. He's like, I'm Bob Dylan. I was like, who the fuck's Bob Dylan? And so I was like, well, dude, you don't know Bob Dylan? Well, you couldn't tell by that stupid-ass bro on that Jew's head. Nope. I don't know who that is. So the bottom line is he basically got what's the word I'm thinking of? Well, the fact that nobody recognized, the cop didn't recognize him, it's like, dude, you change your appearance for the officer. I wouldn't know. If I saw Bob Dylan walk down the street, I wouldn't know who the fuck he was because I don't listen to his music. His music's okay, but when other people cover it, it's so much better. Jimi Hendrix, Jeff Healey. Yeah, when these guys cover his shit, it sounds so much better. So much better. I was going to come on during Yule again and for the winter solstice and explain why we celebrate. So I hadn't had a chance to cover all that. But I think more and more people are starting to find their pagan roots, especially as they start to do the Ancestry.com shit as well as doing the blood checks and stuff, finding who, where they come from, if they're not lying to you. And people are starting to either go to some of these countries if they're able to, or really start reading up on it. As a matter of fact, I was watching Cobra Kai a while back, and I bought a 4-DVD set of all the Karate Kid movies. So you got the 3 originals and the stupid one with fucking, Will Smith's kid. And he's like, who cares? So I have no desire to even watch that, to be quite honest. But anyways, but I was watching the originals, and I started watching 2 again recently. And it's interesting, some of the general philosophy that Mr. Miyagi has is actually sounds so refreshing in today's world. But there was a scene where Kreese, who was played by Martin Cove, who's a Jew, by the way, was wanting to start shit with Miyagi and stuff. And, of course, he called him, also called him a slope. Like, well, I haven't heard that fucking term in a while. But... And that's still a fairly decent kids movie. I think the reason why The Karate Kid was such a big hit is because it was an everyman's movie for especially teenage boys. The people want to start learning to fight and defend themselves because they're tired of getting bullied all the time. I remember going to a grade school on the west side of town back in the fucking 80s and shit where they called the grassy patchbacker the battlefield, and said if you step foot on that basket, it's open season on you. I'm like, what the fuck? And basically sometimes they would go grab you, take you at the battlefield, and just drop kick you or just beat you like a redhead stepchild. So I was like, wow, that's some fucked up shit back in the day. But anyone who grew up in the hood, you'd be able to fucking deal with that shit. Second nature, no big deal. But I think those are some questions we should ask is why do we look at Yule and winter solstice? Why do we look at, if you're general pagan to be Imbolc or it would be Charming of the Plow for heathens? So why are these things relevant? Because the fact that they help us unite ourselves through our blood and through our people. And not, again, I had seen some great professionally shot Lithuanian stuff where they're invoking their traditional gods. There was no fucking Christian bullshit. They were in traditional dress, Eastern European style, with almost like a shift with maybe some lace at the bottom, flowers in their hair and stuff like that. So, they were doing very traditional stuff. But they were... singing all these old fucking invocations and songs in Lithuanian. And they were heaping praises on their gods. And I thought, wow, it's so fucking cool to see that. Very professionally shot and state run. It was everything. It was great. I wish they had subtitles so that way I could at least hear what the songs were about. That would have been really, really cool. But, such is not the case. But we need to look at a lot of these holidays, which make us who we are as people, especially from Europa. And then we need to start demanding that Christianity and all Abrahamic religions be abolished from anywhere near the European continent, as well as in the rest of the Western world. So it's time to really start waking up from this Christian hellhole. you know, putting your fingers in that Bible and saying, oh, well, Christ is your Savior, is going to save your fucking ass. Because you're going to be a dead man eventually. So, let's go live your life, dude, instead of waiting for your fucking Savior to come and pick your ass up on your deathbed. Fuck that shit. So, that's another thing, too. A lot of these vax mandates that have been pushed by politicians are those who's never run businesses. You lose your workforce, and who cares? Your choice is to either starve or go to war. So, I mean, don't think Biden is trying to come up with another way to fuck you. I think what's going to happen is he's going to set up something somewhere where, especially with businesses, smaller ones, if you do any business with the federal government, it'll have to be regulated and the employees have to have the COVID vax. And the reason I say this is because they do have ISO 9000 standards as well as the other one, the other safety standard. What is that? Something 6000? Been a while since I've looked at that shit. But anyway, I definitely think people, when they start looking at their ancestry stuff and they find they're from a certain village or a certain town over in Europe, they need to really embrace the culture of their people. And that's another thing, too, is it's frowned upon that a couple have more than two children. You see that a lot. It's like, well, how many kids you got? Well, I've got four. I've got five. Hell, man, I was talking to a guy in the fucking break room a while back, and he was talking to somebody. He's like, yeah, he knows this real fucking Catholic family or whatever. They came from some, like, old money or some shit, and they let the hauled ass out of Pennsylvania as fast as they could. But the funniest thing because they're very Catholic and they're older families, they have big families. So when you're someone's really hardcore Catholic and they have more than four children, you know, they may raise an eyebrow, but it's not frowned upon. You know, it's to be expected because they're Catholic. Anyway, I remember this guy saying something about these guys had that couple had like a dozen children or something. I was like, wow. I was like, dude, fucking, he picked the right wife. If you can fucking pop out a dozen children within 15, 20, you know, 20 years, fuck, yeah. More power to you, honey. God, you fall into situations, you just look at her and she's pregnant, you know, in the same room. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm telling you, they are going to find some way, just like what they do is they're going to do regulations and they're going to make sure that if you want to do any business with the government, whatever, that they're going to have this list of items to do things. And I know I seriously have taken the devil serum. I don't want to have a heart attack or even worse, I got two little nanites inside my body that they can do whatever you command them to do. Fuck that shit. I am not taking that devil serum, dude. You can be fucking... I would tell some stories. I tell one of these fucking bureaucrats, dude, I want you to get on your knees and I want you to suck my cock. Because that's sure as fuck. I'm not taking a damn shot, nor would I advocate any friend or family member to do it either. Matter of fact, I think Paul Stanley's guitar tech's family should sue Paul Stanley for wrongful death because of the fact that he made his guitar tech get the vaccine. And a lot of the initial reports doesn't say, like, for example, Meatloaf. Meatloaf died from the jab. You know? So did the other jackass from that show. Oh, damn, this guy's name. And he bragged about how he just got the shot, like, by foot teeth of December or something, and it's like, okay, whatever. You're going to see how you feel after that, dude. He was falling apart right there in the damn restaurant. In the footage I saw, I'm like, wow, what a tool. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. But anyway. Okay, so again, we have various several places on social media that you can follow us on. We are on Parler. We're on Getter. We're on We are on Telegram. We are on writeonly.net and on Gab. So definitely want to follow, especially the Friend Thomas Show channel, because I post a lot of stuff through that quite often. I don't always have time to mess with the other three. It's so cold. So that's pretty much how it rolls out. But I'm telling you, they're going to find some way to regulate that shit and basically say, well, if you want to do contract thing with the government, your employees have to be vaxxed. I'd be like, bye-bye. So I saw a video that I posted on Telegram where someone had downloaded it from TikTok. Again, I don't use TikTok, so I don't fucking give the Chinese my data. But anyways, small restaurant owner, and he got robbed. By the time he started, all because of the fun of the police, and because they're manipulating the shit. Anyways, he's talking about how you could drive through any part of Seattle, and wherever there's a hill or a crevice or an overpass, there's a fucking tent and some loser that fucking lives there. So the footage he showed is absolutely disgusting how that particular route getting up that highway is so full of just nastiness. This is bad. Very bad. Okay, so I haven't had a chance to cover any breaks, so no big deal. But close with a song while we're at it. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, so let's see what we got here. I'm starting to get tired of myself. Okay, where did all my pins go? There we go. Somewhere. I have not had a chance to get the new Beast in Black album, but I'm looking forward to that. That's for sure. You know, I haven't heard of these guys in a while. I think they've got a new release out. Bill Ward from Ireland. I'm going to check the website and see if they have any tentative tour dates for the summer. If you get a chance, check that group out. They're like Irish. I wouldn't say Irish ABBA. I'd say like Irish Little Big Town. I mean, they've got some good shit. Good shit. I don't know this song. Okay, so we're going to close with Bill Wood, and we're going to play Dreamland. So watch them out.
Be near you. I really need to see you.
Dreamland by Billowood. Again, I really enjoy that group, and I hope they'll be able to tour this summer because they were awesome live. And they're really cool to meet in person, too. So I was really enjoying your stuff. Okay, that's it for the show. We should be getting some regular stuff on again, and we'll get the other shows caught up here shortly. So we will catch you next time. And Salatima. And remember, don't be an English cigarette. Yes, do not be an English cigarette. Yep, that should do it. Okay. Salatima.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. 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 ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look toward the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.